Luke chapter 14 is our scripture this morning. Luke 14. If you were invited to a free banquet, would you accept the invitation? I know we have a lot of big eaters here at Emmanuel, and I'm sure that most of you would accept the invitation. It seems strange, therefore, to read the story recorded in Luke 14 of three men who refused an invitation to a free dinner. Most of us love to go to dinner, and especially if it's free. And more especially, I suppose, the women would say, if they did not have to prepare it. All of us like to do that. But the Lord recorded the story of three men who refused to go to dinner. And that story begins at verse 15 of our chapter, Luke 14. The Lord tells about a wonderful offer to a great banquet, which was refused by the three men described in this passage. Verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And taking that as a springboard, the Lord Jesus Christ relates the story which is recorded here. It is the story of a man who prepared a great banquet and invited many guests. The man, of course, is representative of the Almighty God in this passage. Here is a wonderful offer to a great banquet prepared by someone who had a special concern for his loved ones, neighbors, and friends. In this case, the man, as I've stated, pictures Almighty God. Isn't it wonderful that God is concerned about us? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God is a giving God. He is a loving God. He is a concerned God. He is not merely concerned with the perpetuation of His majesty and holiness, though He is concerned with that, but He is also concerned with us, we poor creatures down here on earth. And so He has prepared for us a great gospel feast. I think that the Lord possibly used this particular way to express truth because He wanted to remind us of the fact that if we're going to eat in the kingdom of God, we should enjoy it. Eating is enjoyable normally if a person is in good health. They enjoy eating good food. And so the Lord uses the picture of a great banquet to remind us of the fact that to be a Christian, to be in the kingdom of God, is something to be enjoyed. It is not something to be dreaded, something to be feared, something to be abhorred or despised. It is something to be enjoyed. You know, unsaved people look at us and they say, "You poor Christians, you can't have any fun. You have to go to church two or three, four times a week. You have to read your Bible. You can't go out here and participate in the various things that we participate in. We feel so sorry for you." Well, friends, they're feeling sorry for the wrong folks. To be a Christian is very enjoyable. It's just like sitting down to a great banquet. And as you shovel in the roast beef and the mashed potatoes and look forward to the apple pie at the end, you are enjoying yourself. Some of you are already looking forward to your Thanksgiving meal. Matter of fact, this wasn't too happy a choice for a sermon, the more I think about it. Because you're thinking about your Sunday noon meal already. We all enjoy eating. And so the Lord says, a man prepared a great banquet, and God has prepared a great gospel feast for us, whereby we can be made partakers of the kingdom of God. And I think He used it for another reason, and that is that we are satisfied by eating. We're satisfied by eating. Sometimes we're really more than satisfied. And when we push back from a great Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal or some special meal, we really done it too much, as the old fellow said. And we've had an elephant sufficiency, as someone else has said. We've had more probably than we really need. And God says, when we sit down to the gospel feast prepared for us by such a gracious host as the Lord Himself, when we complete it, we are satisfied. Now, we've already seen in the Gospel of John, in some of our messages, how Christ emphasized the fact that He could satisfy the deepest human needs. He said, if you drink the water that I give you, you shall never thirst. He said, I'm the bread come down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you shall never hunger. And other such phrases in the New Testament describe for us that Jesus Christ, through His spiritual power and grace, satisfies us. I can certainly give testimony this morning, and I'm sure many of you can as well, that Jesus Christ satisfies my heart. I'm not looking around in various religious systems or dabbling here and there or reading books by various authors that teach other than what the Savior teaches. I don't need that and I don't want that. Why? Because years ago when I came to that fountain of cleansing, when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, He satisfied my heart. And all these years that I've served Him and loved Him, He has satisfied me every moment of every day. That, no doubt, is why the Lord uses the figure of a great banquet to speak about the enjoyment of salvation and to speak about the satisfaction of salvation. But the question was, how was He to get the word out? He had a great banquet prepared. Chefs had been busy for days planning it and preparing it. But how was He to get the word out? The Scripture tells us in verse 16, at the time of the banquet, He sent His servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. The master of the house, the gracious host for the banquet, commissioned a servant to go out into the highways and hedges, first of all, inviting those who had been given previous knowledge of the banquet. I'm so glad that the Lord put that in here, because that describes me and that describes you. God has prepared a great gospel feast to which He invites the entire world, but He needs someone to spread the invitation. You may recall over in Romans chapter 10 that God tells us in that passage that we are appointed, as this servant was appointed, to spread the good tidings about the gospel feast. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Those are good questions in the light of Brother Cruz's remarks this morning about the missionary portion of our offering. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so the host of the banquet called his servant and he said, I want you to go and I want you to tell and I want you to invite and I want you to bring people to the banquet because the banquet is prepared. He sent his servant to say, come, for all things are now ready. I report to you as a gospel minister this morning that if you are a Christian, you have been appointed to tell out the good news. You have been appointed to invite people to the gospel banquet. You have been appointed by the Lord to be an official representative of heaven on this earth and to tell people, come, for all things are now ready. That's not just the job of the pastoral staff who sit on the platform, or maybe a few deacons whom we elect from time to time. That job is not restricted to certain, shall we call them, high-level personnel in the kingdom of God. This is a job for every Christian. One of the significant reasons, I believe, why God has blessed Emmanuel Baptist Church for these years is the fact that that truth has been inculcated in the minds and hearts of the members of this church. And most of the people whom we see receiving Christ as Savior have in some way been witnessed to by the members of this congregation. They are neighbors. They are friends. They are relatives. They are people with whom our people work. They are folk who have been given a gospel tract or a booklet. There are people who've been given a personal testimony about someone's salvation experience. We don't get a lot of folk who just wander into the church and get saved. Sometimes that happens. But most of the people have been reached by another. And somebody has opened their mouth and told the good news that there's a gospel banquet for all who will come. He sent his servant, and that servant was so quick to respond. Now, some people are rather slow in responding to appointed duties. They'll get around to it after a while, but they don't do it very rapidly. That's just like your teenage boy when he's given the job of taking out the garbage every week. He'll get around to it if he's prodded a little bit. But he doesn't do it with alacrity, and most teenage boys, at least, don't do it very promptly. But somehow, sometime, they'll get around to it. But the Bible says this about this servant down in verse 21. The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town. Go quickly!" And the whole context seems to indicate that he was very responsive to the will of his master. And when his master said, "You go," he went. Oh, how we dally and how we wait. Is there not someone, friend, to whom you have intended to witness and you have not done it? Perhaps for weeks and months you have said to yourself, "I need to tell that relative about Christ. I need to go over to so-and-so's house and witness to them about Jesus. I need to go somewhere and tell someone about Christ." But you've dallied with it and you've tarried with it and you have procrastinated and you still have not done what the Lord has put upon your heart to do. Maybe God is reminding you solemnly through this very passage of Scripture this morning that servants are to be quick and prompt in the disposition of their duties. Maybe even this very day, if you have someone to whom you need to witness, someone to whom you need to tell the glad tidings of salvation, even this very day, you might get in your automobile and go to that place where that person is and tell them the glad news that all things are now ready and Jesus will save them from their sins. It's wonderful to have a servant like that. I like something else about this servant. He was very persistent despite much discouragement. The Bible tells us that he went out, verse 18, and everybody that he invited had an excuse why they couldn't come. They all began to make excuses. Well, if you've ever done any personal witnessing for Christ, you know that that is very typical. And you go out about this city of Toledo to tell people that the gospel feast is ready and that Jesus will save them and all they have to do is by faith appropriate Him. You'd think they'd be falling over one another to get saved, wouldn't you? And to get to the feast. But that isn't the case. Sadly enough, they begin to make excuses. Well, this reason and that reason. I can't be a Christian for this reason. I'm not ready and so on. They've got 1,000 excuses why they can't accept God's great invitation. And you know what the natural tendency is? Well, I would just forget it. I think that's why some people don't go calling. Some people have been out in our visitation ministry and they perhaps hit a week or two when they first started, when they had a lot of doors shut in their face, and maybe had one or two unhappy experiences, and so they just, threw the whole thing over. Not going to do it anymore. Well, we must remember, of course, that we are to be persistent, and this fella kept at it, and he kept at it. And no matter how many poor excuses he got, he kept at it. We are told in verse 21 that he came back and reported this to his master. That's a good thing to do, especially when you get discouraged. You get a lot of foolish excuses, and you go out, and you go out, and you go out, and you do not seem to reap much of a harvest. And sometimes we just need to go back to the master and report this to him. And you know what he'll do? He'll send us out again, just like he did with this servant. Send us out again. He said, "You go again, and you go again, and you go again." You know something? I was encouraged in reading and studying this passage. Servants are not responsible for responses, but servants are responsible for invitations. Did you hear what I said? Servants are not responsible for responses, but servants are responsible for invitations. I cannot cause a person or make a person or force a person to respond to a gospel invitation, but I am responsible to issue that invitation. I am responsible to go with that invitation. Now, whether the person receives it or not, that's up to the Holy Spirit, who must prepare their heart. But I am responsible to go and to give that invitation. So the servant went. The gospel invitation to that great banquet was extended through a willing servant. It was extended through a wonderful, clear statement. I like the way it's put here. Come, for everything is now ready. Verse 17. What did he do? He just went and he repeated the words that his master had given him to repeat. Come, for everything is now ready. There was an urgency about it because the scripture says the servant was sent, verse 17, at the time of the banquet. It was supper time. And as a boy growing up, my mother prepared supper. We all gathered as a family for the evening meal. That was just a ritual in our home. Normally everyone was there. When my mother said it was supper time, she meant for us to sit down. I mean, it was supper time. We weren't to be monkeying around. We're going to finish up this and we're going to do this. And after a while, we'll wander in there and sit down. She meant it was supper time. It was a time to come to supper. If there's anything that a good cook hates, it's for people to be dawdling around after they get everything cooked and everything's hot. And then people saying, well, I got to go over here and do this, and I got to go out here and get the newspaper and get the mail and fiddle around for 5 or 10 minutes. Everything gets cold. Now, I'm not a cook, but I've seen a lot of cooks in my lifetime, and I know that gets their goat, and I don't blame them. Slave over hot stove, get everything all ready. Supper time. Then this guy's got to go here, and somebody's upstairs yet taking a shower, and somebody's down there. And we'll get around to 10 or 15 minutes from now. No, now supper time. We want you to come now. That was a rule in our home. When it was supper time, it's supper time. I forget about everything else. And we sit down to this meal. And the Lord, the host of this banquet, sent his servant at banquet time, at supper time. He said, it's ready now. May I remind you tonight, today, my friend, without Jesus Christ, that now is the accepted time. There is a compulsion to this matter. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. God doesn't want you procrastinating. God wants you responding. And He wants you to respond today and now. And so at supper time, the servant went with an urgent plea. Everything's hot and everything's ready. And all of it is well seasoned. Come now. I like the clarity of the invitation. He didn't give a big, long explanation of it. He just said, come. You know, that is one of the great words in the Bible. You can trace it. It's used many times, starting the book of Genesis right on forward. God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark, which I prepared for thee. He said that to Noah and his family. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. He that is athirst, let him come and take the water of life freely. And many other places in the Word of God could be found. God says, come. You say, I don't feel like it. God says, come. You say, I don't understand it all completely. God says, come. You say, I don't know whether I can really live a Christian life. God says, come. It is God's great invitation to you today. Here with your burden and with your sorrow and with your troubled heart and perhaps with your shattered home and your hopes are on the rocks and your life is all askew. But God says, come. The servant went out inviting people to come. That's about as simple as you can get. Somebody says, I think it's too simple. There's surely more that you have to do than that. But God says, come. The gospel invitation is not complicated. It is not a great philosophical explanation of something. It is an invitation to respond to God and to come. Come and help us fix this feast. Maybe a few of you can take the soup, and a few of you can mix around and get some greens together and make a salad. And a few of you can get the pizza in the oven. And a few of you can mix some Kool-Aid. Is that what he said? Read it carefully. Come, for everything is now ready. Here was an invitation to something that was completed. Now suppose that my wife and I were to get an invitation to go to one of your homes for a meal. And we got there, and I wandered back into the kitchen, and I dipped my finger in the soup. I said, now that looks a little, needs a little more salt there. And I opened up the oven and got a piece of roast beef out there and fiddled around with it and tasted it. And I said, I don't think that's cooked just right. And I went over here and I saw the pie, and I dug a little piece of that out and said, you know, I think you're just shy there a little bit on that pie. You know what that person do? They'd kick me right out of there, never invite me back again. What do you mean coming here to tell me how to prepare this meal? You sit down there in the living room, keep your big trap shut, and wait till it's supper time. And don't try to tell me how to cook back here. Now, that's another thing that bothers most good cooks, is somebody gets to fooling around back in the kitchen there, trying to tell them what to do, especially their husband. You better stay out of there. Now, what is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying here by this illustration that God is inviting people to something that is completed. All things are ready. We're not asking you to help God save you. We're not asking you to work at your salvation. We're not asking you to get your fingers in the pie, as it were. We're asking you to receive something that God has already finished for you. It is already. Jesus Christ paid the penalty upon the cross. Jesus purchased your salvation. Christ, the Lord from glory, took your place as a sinner upon the cross and was raised from the dead and offers you a finished salvation. All things are ready. You don't have to do one thing today but come and receive that which is ready. Come and believe. Come and be saved. That's all. Salvation is a finished work, a complete work, a divine work. And so did the servant go with this wonderful invitation. Come, for all things are ready. The Bible tells us in verse 18, they all alike began to make excuses. Just like people, isn't it? Same kind of people today we have. They all began to make excuses. The people who were originally invited began to make excuses. The privileged recipients, if you please, of this invitation, we are told that there were such. He'd already invited them, and now he is urging upon them to come. You see, the Bible teaches us that there were privileged recipients of the gospel invitation, if we could call it that. It is one of the things that is taught us in the Word of God in such a passage as John chapter 1. I believe the Lord is referring here to the nation Israel. Those guests who were invited but would not come represent the nation Israel. And according to John 1, verses 29 and following, Jesus Christ gave a special invitation to the nation Israel prior to the time when he gave it to the Gentiles. John 1, 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John the Baptist presented Christ to the nation Israel. Sometimes, by the way, we hear people say we ought to follow Christ in baptism. I understand what they mean by that. That's not a very good phrase, however, to use, because we do not follow Christ in baptism. That is, we are not baptized for the same reason as was our Lord. He was baptized a sinless Savior. We are baptized sinners. We come to the waters of baptism confessing that we are lost and undone and need a Savior. He came to the waters of baptism, as John said, to testify that He was the predicted Messiah of Israel. He came that He might be revealed to Israel, and that is why He was baptized by John the Baptist. Those dear friends who believe that the Baptist church began with John the Baptist have some problems, I think, with some of these verses. John the Baptist came for a different purpose and preached a different message than do Baptist preachers today. He was under the law and we are under grace. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. We are New Testament expositors of the Scriptures. There are differences in our ministries. Matthew chapter 10 also tells us that Jesus was presented originally to the nation Israel. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. You know, if you're not a dispensationalist, you have a problem with some verses like we're going to read here. That is, if you believe all of the instructions in the Gospels are for the church today, you're going to have a problem here. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. So we obey that today. We're going to have to close down all our missionary work. Because all our missionary work, practically all of it, is to Gentiles. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't preach to any Gentiles, Jesus said. Don't you preach to any Gentiles. Only preach to Jews. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, and drive out demons. If we're going to do that today, we're in trouble. Because there's not a pastor on this platform, including this speaker, that can perform any of these ministries that are mentioned here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, and drive out demons. Not any of us have power to do that. If that is part of the gospel ministry today, then we don't have much of it going on. Now, I realize there are some friends who claim that they can do these things, but I don't believe their claims. But God gave at this time and for a particular purpose power to His apostles to perform these miraculous ministries. And they went just to the nation Israel to present the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think that is pictured in our passage here in Luke 14. There were people who had received prior notice. There were people who had received prior invitation, but they turned it down. They picture the nation Israel, who turned down the invitation of the Lord Himself. And for what paltry reasons? I bought a field and I have to go see it. Imagine anybody buying a piece of property and never having seen it. I know there have been some people who've done that. Some people that buy a property in Florida and find out it's under the Gulf of Mexico or something after they buy it. Or they listen to the siren song of some real estate quack out in Arizona and they buy some property out there and find it's way out in no man's land full of rattlesnakes, no water or anything else. But people with good sense, which we hope all of you are today, will not buy property unless they look at it and see where it is and what kind of property it is. This was just a silly excuse. And another fellow, he said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got to go find out if they're going to be able to pull a plow or not. A stupid thing that was. Please excuse me. And the other fellow said, I've got married and I can't come. He might have had a point there. I don't know. Maybe that was the best of the lot. But what silly excuses these were. Paltry excuses. You know what these excuses illustrate? They illustrate a disrespect for the one who gave the invitation. They illustrate improper values in life. Somebody says, rather than accept the invitation to a free banquet, I'm going to go and see if my oxen work. How silly can you get? And yet, dear friends, we issue a gospel invitation to people to go to heaven, and what do? Well, they say, well, I don't have time for that. I've got business over here to attend to. Paltry excuses. Terrible excuses. And Israel, of course, about whom the Lord speaks in this passage, rejected the Lord. You remember what John 1, verses 10, 11 says? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But he came to Israel, and they said, no, we have no king but Caesar. We don't want this man to reign over us. And the Israel, official Israel, that is, rejected Christ. You have a description of it in Acts chapter 3. Where Peter pointed his finger at those Jewish people and he said, you have crucified the Lord, but God raised him from the dead. But you chose a murderer instead of Jesus, referring to Barabbas. Dear friends, it is a tragic thing that not only did Israel reject Jesus, but people are rejecting him every moment and every hour around this world. Some in this auditorium this morning are rejecting him with paltry excuses and silly excuses such as were given back in these days. And the Bible tells us that against a background of that, the Lord enlarged his invitation. Enlarge his invitation, he said, according to verse 24, not one of those men were invited will get a taste of my banquet. He refers to the nation Israel. You can look back at Matthew chapter 23 and you will see one of the official divine rejections of the nation Israel described in Matthew 23, verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, imagine now our Lord Jesus Christ as he utters these terrifying, sobering, and somber words. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often would I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look. Your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These are solemn words from the lips of Christ, friends. He is saying, I am hereby officially rejecting the nation Israel. Their house is left unto them desolate. That is, God will not live there and dwell there. And they, as a nation, will not see me until I come again in glory. And they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And so he prepares us for this great church age in which we are now living. He's put Israel on the sidetrack. Now, please understand, from Romans 11, he's not done with Israel as a nation. He's going to get them back on the main line one of these days. He's still going to fulfill his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God always fulfills his promises. But Israel's on the sidetrack right now, and the main line is the church. And Jesus said, your house will be left to you desolate. Why? Because you rejected me, your Messiah, about whom the prophets spoke. But Paul tells us in Romans 11 that while they've been rejected temporarily, they'll be brought back in. And Romans 11 is a great exposition of that. And how we Gentiles, we non-Jews, have received spiritual blessing because God has set aside temporarily his ancient people Israel. And so he speaks here in our parable in Luke 14. He says, not one of those men were invited will get a taste of my banquet. It's a general statement, of course, meaning that he's going to withdraw the invitation from those who ought to have accepted in the first place. And so what does he tell the servant? Verse 21. He says, I want you to go out into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And later in verse 23, go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. While God has set aside His ancient people Israel, He has brought into the place of blessing Gentile people for this day. Now, this does not mean, of course, that Jewish people cannot be saved today. Jewish people can be saved today just like any of us can be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And many of them have been saved and are being saved. But God is not blessing the nation Israel as such right now. But He is saving individual Jewish people who will receive His Son as their personal Savior. And thank God for that. And He is saying here to the servant, I want you to go everywhere, all over, and get lame and poor and blind and people who are outcasts. I want you to bring them in that my house may be full. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing today. He's going into all the world and He's finding people who are not of the covenant of Israel. He's finding, as Paul said over in Ephesians 2, those of us who were not of Israel. We were outside the realm of God's blessing of His Old Testament people. And He's bringing us in. We were outcasts. We were lost. We did not deserve God's blessing, and we still don't. But the Holy Spirit is gathering from the nations of earth today people to trust His Son as their personal Savior. And when the servant went out and gathered up quite a few, he came back and reported according to verse 22, and still there is room. There's lots of room at this banquet, my friends. There's lots of room in the Father's house. There's room, room for the lame, the halt, the blind sinner. There's room for thee. Because Christ made room for such poor souls by dying on the tree. Yet there is room. All these centuries, the Holy Spirit has been bringing people to Jesus. And the church has been increasing. And thousands and millions have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But yet there's room. There's room for any sinner in this building that will trust Jesus. There's room in the heart of God for you. There's room at the foot of the cross for you. There's room in heaven's glorious city for you. If you will accept the invitation to the banquet, come, for all things are now ready. Will you do it? Now with your burden, with your sin, with your heartache, will you come to Jesus? And He will give you rest. Shall we bow together as we pray? Every head bowed for a moment as we pray. Let's be very prayerful. I ask that no one leave while we're giving invitation. Please, because this is a very important part of our service, we ask that you respect that. And as we stand and sing in a moment, would you continue to respect that? This is the time when we ask people if they want to trust Christ as their Savior. This is a very important moment in our service. Someone's here that needs Christ. Someone's here to whom the Holy Spirit is saying, come, for all things are ready. Somebody's here with a heavy heart, and somebody's here that needs a Savior to lift that load of sin today. And God is saying, come. And there are those here as well who are saved people, but you've never publicly confessed your salvation. Maybe someone led you to Christ in your home. And how wonderful that is if that's true. But you need to openly confess Jesus. I pray that you might do it this morning. Maybe there's some here who've trusted Jesus Christ, but you've never been baptized as the Bible tells us we ought to be after we've been saved. And you would like to be baptized and come into the fellowship of this church. We invite you to respond and let us know that, and we'll give you instructions. Maybe someone for membership in our church. God is leading you. Maybe an individual, a couple, a family. And God wants you to be a part of this great spiritual family here at Emmanuel. And we issue the invitation to you to come this morning. Maybe someone who's out of fellowship with the Lord. You've broken your Heavenly Father's heart by your inconsistent life. And He's inviting you to come and get straightened out with Him today. Whatever it is, we invite you in Jesus' name to respond this morning.